You're listening to Classical 95.9, WCRI Block Island, Exeter, the classical station.
Welcome to Classical 95.9 WCRI's Conducting Conversations with your host, Mike Maino. 1 hour of music and conversation with notable people in the arts, bringing you the stories of how music has impacted their lives. The show will give a behind-the-scenes look at the guest's background, interests, or special project.
Conducting Conversations is brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, from sheet music and brand name instruments to rentals, repairs, lessons, and more. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.
And now here's your host, Mike Maino.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Conducting Conversations. Tonight, it is a pleasure to welcome into the studio a man that most of you are probably very familiar with if you listen to WCRI. Joe Perillo is here. Welcome, Joe.
Hi, Mike. It's good to be here.
It was a time to do a show with Joe, as I thought. We're going to review Joe Perillo, the great jazz artist, his recordings and his great career in jazz, and being a professor or the head of the music department at the University of Rhode Island, correct?
Correct, yeah.
And you've been at URI now about how long?
I've been at URI for 28 years now.
28 years.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And playing jazz music all of that time, plus more.
Right, sure. Yeah, a little bit of classical every now and again.
A little
when
classical.
When I venture out.
Yeah, a little, you know, dabble of things.
Right.
We're very proud to have Joe on Friday nights on WCRI with Jazz After Dinner, which he has just finished. I know that you've already accomplished over 100 shows. I don't know if you realize that or not on WCRI.
That's great. So yeah,
and I'm at a milestone of well over 300. So between us, we've had a lot of hours on the airtime here.
I guess so.
And we thought we'd talk to Joe about some of his earlier recordings and let you hear some of his stuff, because normally, Joe, you play everybody else, right? You play Dave Brubeck, you play all these different artists that people are familiar with, but people don't get to hear your material, so we're going to do that tonight.
Okay, sounds
okay.
Good.
Okay, so take us back. You started out as a poor child on the streets of
Providence.
Providence,
Rhode Island, yeah.
Were you really a poor child?
Well, we had to bring our way up, I think, you know. Basically raised by an Irish, Portuguese, Italian family. And everybody worked really hard to get me through school and get myself through school. So I wouldn't say necessarily poor. We were rich in a lot of ways.
Right.
But money was the thing we had to work for, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. All the time. Yeah.
So depending on how you look at it, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah, right. I really think so.
So Providence, and went to school where in Providence?
Well, first I went to Holy Ghost School. Well, I once started at Bell Street Nursery.
So you must
really
be younger than me, because I never went to nursery school.
Oh, you never did? Yeah, no. I went to nursery school, and then I went to parochial school. I went to Holy Ghost School on Federal Hill, or as we call Federal Heights.
How you doing?
And, yeah. And then from there, I went to Central High School.
Mm-hmm.
I did a short time at Classical High School, but I was so busy with music and art and visual arts, too, that really wasn't a good focus for me. So I went to Central High School, and I graduated from there in 1970.
Isn't it supposed to be the other way around? If you're in the arts, aren't you supposed to go to classical?
Maybe.
All right.
Yeah.
But you did the Central thing.
I did Central High School, yeah. Right.
And then from where to?
Then from there, I went to Rhode Island College.
Mm-hmm.
And then 10 years later, I went to New England Conservatory.
In Boston?
In Boston, yeah. A lot of my studying was done kind of in the real world and studying with some wonderful musicians. Composer Michael Gibbs, who wrote a lot of music for Gary Burton and that crew of jazz musicians that came out. I got to study with Dave Holland, Jack DeJohnette, Pat Metheny, and Charlie Bonakis, who isn't really well known as a performing musician, but was probably, he was, to my mind, the great jazz teacher, world-renowned jazz teacher. people came from all over the world to study with him. They would move into his town from Europe or wherever and just live there to study with Charlie.
Just to be under him. Yeah. Well, all right, let's get to a piece of music real quick, and then we'll come back and take it from there. But one of your earlier recordings was something that you've come out with now called Songbook. This is what used to be a vinyl record, right?
Yes, yeah, from 1981.
1981, and that, interestingly enough, my first vinyl record was 1981.
Oh,
see
okay.
That? We have that in common.
Yeah.
Okay. So we'll parallel ourselves as we go along here.
Great.
This is called Songbook, and the first song is A Song for Dave. Tell us about this.
Right. Well, this is a tune I wrote for Dave Holland, or inspired by Dave Holland. He, when I studied with him, which was really pretty exciting. I didn't know that I'd get to study with Miles Davis's bass player, mm-hmm. and he played with Miles and played with a lot of other people, plus his own recordings. So I got to study with him, and one of the things he said to me as I was writing my music, he said, "Joe, you need to put out a recording. You need to move forward with this." And so I went for it, and said I wrote this tune, kind of inspired by him and take the lessons that I took with him.
We go from Song for Dave to the next CD along your list here of many that we have called Clouds. Tell us how this came about.
Well, that came about the first ensemble, or it was a quartet. I just put the musicians together that I've played with at different times. Bruce Abbott was on saxophone and flute on the Songbook album. Chris Bellamo was on drums, and Dave Zinno was on bass and some cello. And mm-hmm. of course, I was on piano. And we did that recording. And then the ensemble kind of morphed a little differently because they were, those were just people that I got together to play on that recording. So then the Joe Perillo Ensemble came out of that later on. So Bruce Abbott and myself and Wendy Klein came on board on flute. Rick Andre took over on drums. And we had Mark Poniatowski. Took me a while to get that. He played bass. And Joe Mowat on percussion. So that was what became, at least that instrumentation became the ensemble. And then we just, I had been writing more tunes. And then we put this cassette together at the time. You know, that was the
so
big
we've
thing.
Gone from vinyl to cassette.
Vinyl to cassette.
You missed the 8-track era, though.
I did miss the 8-track
era. Okay, see?
Yeah, so
I've got one of those.
Miss that. Yeah. So put that group together, and that was really the sound I wanted, that mix of kind of a hybrid of jazz, improvised music, and Latin, you know, Latin music, Afro-Cuban, and just Brazilian music. Kind of a mix of it, real hybrid. It wasn't any specific genre per se. And that's when that the Joe Perillo Ensemble happened, and we did the cassette Clouds.
was the tune Clouds with Joe Perillo. And Joe, we kind of skipped over the fact, we talked about your early days in school and so forth, but we never really did mention that the piano is your instrument. You're a Steinway artist. You're a Grammy-nominated artist. You've had a lot of accomplishments. Was piano always your instrument? Did you dabble with other things? Or?
I dabbled a little bit. I mean, I played a little bit of accordion. I still have one sitting in my living room next to the piano. I love playing melodica because it's just a single note instrument that I like playing that I could bring to little jam sessions and things like that.
It's easier to carry than the piano.
It's much easier to carry, yeah. But piano has been my main instrument. When I first started studying piano, well, my aunt, my mother's middle sister played piano. My grandmother played piano. And then the math teacher from Central High School, when I was younger, before I went to Central High School, she lived next door and she had a piano. And she would give me some lessons. And then she gave me the piano when she moved away, which was really neat. And it was, I don't know how this happened, but then Guido Mattia moved in next door. Well, who's Guido? Well, he was the house piano player for the Biltmore Hotel. That's why he moved to Providence. He got that gig. And back then, you were on salary, and you had health benefits, and you had a room.
You were a regular employee.
Yeah, you were a regular employee, and you organized a lot of the musical events and things, and you played happy hour, and you played, you know, the evenings on the weekends and stuff. So I got to study with him, and so that's and it's kind of all history after that. Then I just kept doing it. I was lucky in my senior year at Central High School. I got a scholarship to Rhode Island School of Design Junior School, and so I was trying to be an artiste and a musician and making all that happen. It was very cool.
Probably wearing a beret.
Yeah. I was at times. And then when I first went to Rhode Island College, I went, went into an art major at first. I got accepted as an art major. And then I switched to music after my freshman year to be a music major. I auditioned that summer. And then it's kind of all history. So piano's been the instrument. I know a lot of times people ask, well, how many instruments do you play? Well, professionally, I play piano. And I just kind of leave it at that.
There you go. Yeah. All right, we're going to get one more tune in before our first break, and this is from the album called Carefree, Lucy Theme. Tell us about this.
Lucy's theme was, I always felt that, and I'm not sure why, when I go back and watch the Charlie Brown shows, I felt Lucy needed her own song, but she pretty much owned everything anyway, probably, in real life, she probably would have owned the rights to everything. So, but back then I gave Lucy a song because we had Charlie Brown's song that everyone would request all the time. And I said, I think Lucy needs a tune. So this became Lucy's theme on the Almost Carefree album.
All right, we'll listen to that, then take a short break and be back with more of Joe Perillo.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Conducting Conversations. We are speaking with Joe Perillo tonight, the jazz artist that appears on WCRI on Friday nights with Jazz After Dinner. We thought we'd give him a chance to tell his story about how his amazing career has come about over the years. He has lots of CDs available, and if you're interested in checking out his website, it's very simple to remember. It's joeperillo.com, and you can get all the information you need right there, right, Joe?
Right. I managed to get the rights to joeperillo.com early on. So
there you go.
I can get a lot of information from that.
Can purchase CDs right from the website?
You can purchase CDs from the website, and it's all up on iTunes and all those things if you want to just download one or two tunes, too.
Yeah. All right. Well, we spent quite a bit of time in the first segment going, talking and having a great time. I'm sure you and I could talk for hours and hours, but we have to get to the music. So we're gonna speed it up a little bit. We're going to get to his next recording, which is called Block Island Summer. Tell us about that.
Well, Block Island Summer was that same ensemble that put together, so the six-piece group. And that was basically our second recording. It was time to do another one. We had been over to Block Island and played a long week of string of gigs in Block Island, and I wrote the tune Block Island Summer. And we just had a good time and said, okay, it's time to do another recording. We've got enough tunes.
Okay,
and that's
now
what we did.
Where did you play on the island? Do you remember?
I should. I can visualize it. It was that big house.
Spring
you can
House?
See. Spring House. There
spring
you go.
Spring House, there you go.
Right. Yeah, we played at the Spring House. Right. And we were there like for a whole week. I think we did four nights.
Well, that gives spring people house. A little vision now of exactly where this is happening. As you can look down and see the ocean and on the beautiful lawn.
It's a nice spot.
Sitting out on the porch listening to jazz music by Joe Perillo.
Yeah, that's...
Thank you.
Joe, I'm going to ask you to get to this next one fairly quickly. This is called Surreal Waltz.
Right.
And it's from Morning?
Morning in the Garden. As
Morning
an
in the Garden.
Yeah.
As an AM. All right. Yeah. Tell us about this one.
Well, this was a trio outing for me. It was just piano, bass, and drums with Mike Connors on drums and Nick Cudahy on bass. And I was playing with these guys a lot, too, with a different group, you know, as a sideman. And we just hit it off really well, and I had a lot of recordings. I said I'd like to do a trio recording. So we did that, and Surreal Waltz was just one of those. It's a little abstract, repetitive ostinatos, and that's how this tune came about.
Okay.
That's it.
Well, we'll give it a listen, and we'll take another short break and be back with more of Joe Perillo. Welcome back to Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Mano, sitting with Joe Perillo, listening to Joe's music that he's created over the years. So far, we've listened to a CD entitled Songbook, and then went to Clouds, Carefree, and then Block Island Summer, Morning in the Garden. And now we're going to move on to another CD called Sandbox. And presuming this is nothing to do with you as a little boy, I'm presuming there must be another reason for this title.
Yeah, I got pretty childish during the recording, but the title's more it because it was a duo recording, myself and Christine Harrington on cello. So kind of playing in the sandbox, and that so one of the tunes was just a fun tune to do, the tune Sandbox. And we decided to use that as the title.
Uh-huh.
So the two of us just playing in the sandbox. And we did that in 2001, and we just had a ball putting it together. It was kind of my outing of getting connected a little bit more with classical musicians. And Christine wanted to get a little more connected to improvisation. So I wrote a lot of this music. A lot of her parts are all written out.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time, but then we've kind of mixed up the improvisation for her, and then my parts, a lot of it was very much improvised, and I'll put this together.
Thank you.
great music we've been listening to by Joe Perillo. And Joe, I said I'd like to talk a little bit more about improvisation. I know that as a singer, someone who's been performing all my life in the world of singing, rarely do I have the chance to improvise. Almost everything I do is in an a cappella quartet, so the other guys have to know where I'm going. I have to know where they're going.
Sure.
We occasionally will pick a song, listen to a melody, and then I just harmonize to whatever I think it's going to be. But once I establish that, the next time we do the song, I pretty much stay the same. It stays the same. Mm-hmm. That's not the case for jazz musicians, and you in particular, as you mentioned. How does that work? Tell our audience a little bit in 2 minutes of how does someone get the thought of where should I go now instead of playing this note or that note? Does that just is that instinctive for all of you?
I think it becomes that way as you practice it more and more. You know, when you have a certain framework you're working from, certain harmonies, like same as you would do, there's certain harmonies going on around you,
sure,
that dictate where you might go with your melodies or your harmonies. In the same way, there's certain dictates, but once you establish a certain melodic idea and curve or whatever you might want to call it, you know, where it might go and the phrasing of it, how do you develop that and how do you change it and vary it and move on to a new idea, leaving space and all that. So you have all these elements that come to it as part of that. And, you know, improvisation can be, when they call it free improvisation, that doesn't necessarily mean it's free. It means you're free to establish pretty much everything involved.
Okay.
But in the case of my tunes, they're usually, in most cases, there's some kind of structure, harmonic, sometimes melodic and rhythmic, that you base your in-the-moment ideas to play off of that.
Okay.
And that's basically what
so if you're
that interaction, that conversation.
Right. If you're at the Rum Line restaurant and you're playing a gig and you're
right
with a couple other people and they're playing different instruments, you pretty much have an idea where that's going.
Sure.
It's not just like completely off the wall different the next night than it was
no,
the night before.
No, not for us. We do sometimes just sit down and start to play. I'll start to play some kind of idea that might, you know, get a little repetitive and move around within a key or two or three key centers. And then they'll play off of that with me and we'll improvise. And then it usually develops some kind of structure.
Right.
And that's more the free improvisation. But once you establish certain things, the freedom is...
It's limited.
It's limited. It okay, boxes itself again.
Yeah. Well, Joe, I want to thank you for coming in tonight, talking to us on Conducting Conversation, explaining a little bit about your art form and your background. I know that people love your show on Friday nights.
Mm-hmm.
Jazz After Dinner is on every Friday night at
8 p.m.
8 p.m. I knew that. Mm-hmm. I was just wanting to see if you knew.
Yes. And, good checking with me.
I was checking with you. And we'll hopefully you'll be listening to that out there. But tonight you had a chance to get a little bit more information about Joe. We're going to go out with a song that's on his latest CD called Segments. By the way, I don't know if we actually said the name of the last piece we listened to, which was something about January, right?
Yeah, One Day in January. That was from the Sandbox recording.
Okay, and now tell us about this next one we're going to hear.
Okay, this next one is a more recent composition called Crying Moon. And I did this with a trio that I've been working with quite a bit, Brian Rizzuto on bass, and at the time, Eric Platts on drums, who was actually teaching for us at the University of Rhode Island. And now he's teaching somewhere in Canada. But and I've always wanted to play with a vibraphonist of the likes of Jay Hogard, and I asked him to play, and he said yes. And this is one of the tunes from that recording.
Excellent. And we want to make sure that you understand you can buy any of these CDs by going to joeperillo.com and taking a listen and purchase some great listening music.
Sure, that'd be great.
Thanks, yeah. Joe. Appreciate
Thank you, Mike.
It. And we're going to listen to as much as possible of Crying Moon. It's a little bit lengthy, but we'll try to get as much in as possible. And then we'll see you next week on Conducting Conversations. Thank you. Conducting Conversations was brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, using music and the arts to keep your child educated, entertained, and having fun. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.